Okay, you ready?
I'm ready. I'm ready. That's a SpongeBob quote. Jellyfishing, jellyfishing.
Welcome to Slothman Prophecies, a show where myself, Carl, and my lovely wife, Katie, say hello, Katie.
Hola.
We talk about weird stuff. And, well, I know we teased you pretty hard with the Aaron Burr series last time.
Oh, yeah, with Justin. You hadn't heard from him in so long.
I know.
Good to have you back, Justin.
Good to have you back, Justin. Unfortunately, I did not have the time to devote the amount of preparation that the next part of that story deserves this past couple weeks, because we moved yet again.
Again, we moved. And you know, when we move, we don't just move across town, move a street over. We move states. So.
And plus we have producer Cthulhu, and there's a whole set of demands involved with that. So.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. Sorry, not sorry. I'm sure you understand.
We'll bring you the conclusion of the Burr story in the next episode. But in the meantime, I thought we would, in honor of our new home, do Tales from the DMV. For those of you not in the know, that's the DC, Virginia, Maryland. DC, Maryland, Virginia.
Yeah, and if, like me, when you... I've lived here before, but when you first moved here, you hear DMV and think District of Motor Vehicles and get really confused when all the radios are like, coming to you from the DMV area.
But then it makes sense when they tell you how horrible the DMV is, and it, you're, oh yeah.
Traffic in the DMV.
The lines of the DMV are very long.
Yeah, very similar to the traffic in this area.
So it's a very appropriate name on many levels. So I thought I'd just bring you a couple quick short stories from the area, a little bon mot to tide you over, you will.
Good fern phrase.
Thank you.
Also, sorry if you hear Cthulhu getting riled in the background. That's just where she's at right now, so you might hear some skitterings as she thrashes about the room.
Yeah, she's adjusting to a new space, asserting her dominance. So just enjoy that. It's a little extra fun thing for you.
No, it's a fun cat producer.
I guess... before we get to that, admin duties. We don't really have any admin duties this week, except we just started watching Farscape, the classic 90s science fiction television show, and we're loving it.
I, for one, am enjoying it.
It's pretty incredible.
Great puppet work. Way to go, Henson.
I think way underrated in the history of science fiction. I don't know why it's not a bigger deal.
I actually had never heard of it.
I had heard of it, but I never watched it, and... I don't know. It's great. Anyway, not important. Just thought I'd throw that out there.
We like to give you a little insight into our lives every once in a while.
So, Katie.
Yes.
Are you ready for Tales from the DMV?
Yes.
Okay. This first one is called The Curse of the Three Sisters.
I'm one of three sisters, so I'm ready to get scared.
This will be extra spooky for you.
Yeah.
Just west of the Key Bridge, which I used to have to drive over all the time, in the middle of the Potomac River, there are three small rocky islands known as the Three Sisters.
Oh, cool. I did not know that.
They're pretty small islands. Here, I'll pull up a picture for you.
Basically little rocks.
They're basically just little rocky...
oh, they're just like boulders in the...
yeah, it's... I mean... there's
in the river.
There it is next to some boats, so you can get an idea. So they're like fairly large, but they're really just mostly rocks.
Like sandbars.
It's actually some kind of funky like shelf thing, and those are actually granite from what I read. It's like the edge of like one plate or something jutting up, or I didn't really understand it. But
some geological formation.
Anyway, there's these three little islands sticking up with that are pretty rocky with a couple of bushes on them. Gotcha. That's the thing.
Yeah.
And according to legend, that area of the river and those islands is cursed.
No.
And there are several reasons given as to why it might be cursed. I'm going to run through them for you now.
Please do.
One of the common stories is that there were these three nuns.
Lulu, it's inside the room time now. Here, I'm going to give you a treat if you chill out. Lulu, come up here. Come up on the bed.
One story tells of three nuns who drowned.
You know how I feel about nuns.
Trying to cross the river. And so, I guess because nuns are special, maybe the...
It's because they have scary outfits.
But yeah, probably they're just terrifying in general.
The only reason.
Didn't you show me a picture of like some kid who dressed up as the nun for Halloween?
Yeah,
like a
some
kid?
3-year-old decided that she wanted her birthday party to be the nun themed.
That's terrifying.
It was. The pictures are amazing.
I remember a few years ago when they... I guess it was only a couple years ago when the new It came out. There was a little, like a tiny kid, like 3 or 4, who wanted to dress up as Pennywise for Halloween. And his costume was incredible.
Yeah, I remember that was terrifying.
Anyway. Well,
what's scarier than a regular Pennywise? Pennywise is a child.
But I guess maybe his parents were like costume designers or something. Whatever, they did like an incredible job with like his hair and stuff.
Yeah, I remember that.
Anyway. another story tells of three Algonquin sisters who tried to cross the river to save their brothers. The brothers had been kidnapped by another tribe, so they were crossing the river to go and try and save them, but they drowned in the river and they turned into the Granite Islands that make up the three. So they themselves became the islands.
Sure.
That's another story. But my favorite, I think the creepiest and maybe the most realistic, goes as follows.
Oh my gosh, Lou.
A local Algonquin chief had three beautiful daughters, and when the time came, he picked three husbands for them, presumably for political or...
Form alliances?
Yeah. But they were arranged marriages, and the daughters weren't into that, and they refused to marry the chosen husbands. As punishment, the chief, maybe it was one of those things where he threatened a punishment, and then they... You know, he couldn't back down. You know what I mean? But anyway, as punishment, he marooned them on the Three Sisters Islands in the middle of the river.
Okay.
And they died there.
Oh.
But before they died, they vowed that if they couldn't cross that river, no one could. And so to this day, they say that if you attempt to cross the river, an odd siren song will be heard. Sometimes kind of like a bell, sometimes like a strange moaning. And you will die.
Thousands of people cross that river every day. Do they mean like by boat?
From one bank to the other. I don't know.
Not going over the bridge?
They didn't
driving
specify.
Over the bridge? Because I go over that river 5 days a week now.
But that's on a bridge. I think you got to swim it.
Okay. Or maybe like a little dinghy?
Yeah, maybe if you're in a small enough boat. There's probably a threshold.
We should try that sometime and report back. Although maybe not. We're not experienced boaters. So
yeah, I think if anybody was going to die of this curse, it's probably going to be us. So maybe we should not.
Let's not tempt fate. We do have an inflatable kayak.
That's true. We do, but that also seems like definitely if a curse was going to affect a watercraft, that would be an inflatable kayak would be.
How epic would it be if, like, our podcast just suddenly ended and people were like, whatever happened to Slothman Prophecies? And then they Googled it and they were like, oh, millennial couple drowns in
Potomac. Slothman Prophecies has been dead for 10 years.
Dies attempting to cross the Potomac inflatable craft.
Millennials get stuck at Grand Canyon.
Yeah, we told our readers.
I think we got
our viewers
about that. During the government shutdown in January, we camped at the Grand Canyon, which was cool because we didn't have to pay to get in.
It was free.
It was not cool because almost none of the bathrooms were open, and it snowed a crap load in the middle
it
of the night.
Snowed
and
like
we
a foot.
Almost didn't make it out.
Yeah,
but it was a fun adventure.
Yeah. But we just lived in fear of if we got stuck, like they'd have to send emergency services and then we'd be a headline.
A national headline.
We would bring shame to our families.
Yes. Bring dishonor to every
bring
generation.
Bring dishonor. And they'd have to do a ritual killing of us because we had brought dishonor on the family. It escalated.
They'd maroon us on some islands.
Yeah.
That brings me to our next story. Also a curse. The curse of Maul Dyer.
Maul Dyer?
Apparently Maul is an old nickname for Mary.
Well, isn't Molly a nickname for Mary? And then I could see Maul devolving from Molly.
Okay. I'll go with you on that.
Okay.
I believe you. So according to legend, in the late 17th century in Leonardtown, Maryland, there was a woman named Maul Dyer. And apparently a lot of people, this is a real famous one in the area, and a lot of people have researched whether or not this story could be true. There was actually a Mary Dyer who is recorded as coming to the U.S., to Maryland, so
maybe, at the right, like, time period, or?
Yeah, at the right time period. So cool. there is maybe a factual basis for this story.
Excellent.
Not to say that the other one, but... So, Maul Dyer, according to the story, seemed to be a bit of an eccentric. Some less charitable persons might call her a crazy old lady or an old hag. She
or a strong, independent woman that society feared.
Strong, independent woman. She lived in a dilapidated shack all alone. There's various stories about her being widowed in various tragic ways or, like, being left by different kinds of people, like after she had got pregnant with their child or something. There's all kinds of different backstories for why mm-hmm. she lived alone in the woods, but she did.
Nothing more terrifying than a woman without a man.
Not gonna go near that one. She was apparently oddly tall, and she was penniless, and she would roam around the countryside foraging for tasty plants and sometimes asking her neighbors for money. Which, apparently she had this real crazy eye stare. She's good at the hairy eyeball. And so people were kind of afraid to not give her money. Which, actually, is not, maybe not important to the story. But they say that people, like wizards or witches or warlocks, whoever, there's this thing called the evil eye. That mm-hmm. that a penetrating stare is like a signifier of those with occult power. Mm-hmm. That they can look at something and curse you or look at something and know the true nature of a thing. Mm-hmm. I just think that's interesting that's a...
Yeah, I think that is interesting.
Yeah.
And then you hear, like, all the things people did to, like, avert the evil eye. Like, wasn't, like, wearing blue? I feel like blue was a color that people would wear, like, jewelry with blue in it, and it was supposed to avert the evil eye.
And there's that, the little hand symbol uh-huh. is supposed to protect you from that, and there's all kinds of little things to combat the nature of the evil eye. Anyway, right. I just thought that was an interesting... Yeah,
definitely.
And whenever we're telling one of these stories and it comes up that, like, they would stare at you and you couldn't refuse, I always think about that. I think it's an interesting
detail. Cthulhu has a pretty penetrating stare. Do you think she's a wizard?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
you're probably absolutely.
Right. One winter's day, there was a blizzard. Okay. In Leonardtown, Maryland, and a bunch of people, particularly farmers who made their living off the agriculture, their crops died, their animals froze in the fields. It was a pretty rough situation.
Mm.
Some of them got pretty upset and decided it must be that old witch who lives in the woods, Maul Dyer.
We all need a scapegoat when things go wrong.
Exactly. So, naturally, they got themselves up a posse.
Did they have pitchforks and torches?
They at least had torches. They Kill probably the had pitchforks because they were farmers.
Kill the beast.
Well, they burned her house down.
Hey, this is exactly like Beauty and the Beast.
They didn't harm her, but they did burn her down her house in the middle of a blizzard and went back home. A few days later, a boy, presumably the child of one of these farmers, is out looking for lost livestock in the snow. And he comes across a horrifying, haunting sight that probably scarred this child forever.
Oh.
Maul Dyer, frozen, one arm outstretched to the sky as if begging for a curse to be delivered upon the land or for salvation. The other hand and her knees, she's kneeling on a big rock and she's completely frozen to it, dead.
Well, that is awful.
It's pretty terrifying.
Yeah.
But the story doesn't end there. Because apparently, to this day, in the area, crops will not grow.
Do they know which... Is there still, like, a specific rock that it's alleged
There
she
is.
She froze too? Nice.
Well, so in the 70s, there was this local G-man, government man, who decided it was a really neat story that had a lot to do with the area. And so he interviewed a bunch of locals that said, I mean, at that point, the story is 200 years old.
Right.
But there were still locals that were like, I know where Mauled Ayers Rock is. Mm-hmm. And so he found out where it was and had it moved to the Leonard County or Leonardstown courthouse.
They moved it?
They moved it from the woods. It was just in the middle of the woods. It does seem like you're asking for more trouble. But he did move it to outside the old colonial jail at the Leonardstown courthouse, where it still sits today. You can go see it. We can go see it.
Yeah, we should go.
With a little plaque. And they say that you can still see the imprints made by her knees and one hand on the rock. And if you, like, apparently when people approach it, sometimes they mm-hmm. get dizzier and dizzier the closer they get and sometimes pass out.
Whoa.
And that's pretty much it. But that's, I mean, oh, and also there's a Mauled Ayers Road. And apparently people will see a big white dog on the road that sometimes causes people to get into accidents, that swerve to miss the dog.
Interesting. Yeah, we should definitely see how far away it is, and we can check it out and report our own experiences and our findings.
I think it'd be cool, and we could, you know, Instagram some pictures
Take
of the rock pics. And stuff like that.
Yeah.
It seemed like it just kind of sitting out in the open, so I guess you can sit on it and put your hand on it and stuff if you want.
Take a picture?
Maybe it's a bad idea, but
I'm not doing it. You know, I don't like opening myself up to the possibility.
I might do it. I have to see how creepy
negative
it feels.
Energy.
Like, right now I would do it, but
if you show
actually
up and
seeing
you
the rock, and if I like felt dizzy near the rock, I would probably not do it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Well, we'll definitely report back if and when we go, and whether or not Carl gets cursed after taking a picture on it.
Yeah. And that, unfortunately, is all that I had time to prepare this week. I know this is a very short episode.
But be grateful for what you get, guys.
But it's a free show. Be grateful
it's
for what
free.
You get. And
we've been through several life transitions in a very short amount of time. But I hope you enjoyed it, though. And sometimes I think short episodes are fun, you know? Maybe you just only have, like, a 20-minute drive to work and you can get the full...
Yeah.
You just get this little teaser or taster for your ears.
Well, I guess we'll leave it there.
Yeah.
I've been Carl.
I've been Katie.
We'll see you next time.
Bye. Going to sound really obnoxious in the background, so maybe let's just wait.
Yeah, we'll just wait. Anytime now.
She's working up a poop.
You done?